Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State. Sequence
now. Join the countdown. For actors, modeling, singers, songwriters, musicians, dancers, performers, and voiceovers from across the nation to across the world. Here with Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections on TAN Talk Radio 106.1 FM.
Hi, this is Pam Tillis, and you're listening to Hollywood Connection with Dawn and Carrie.
Hi, I'm Gina Lee Nolan, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Donna Reese.
Hey, everyone, I'm Cassie Scirbo with Dawn, the lovely Dawn, and you're listening and watching Hollywood Connection.
Hey, what up, you guys? It's your girl, Vivica Fox. You are watching Hollywood Connections on TAN Talk Radio with Dawn. Little foxy thing. Enjoy.
Hi, you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese, and I'm Kathleen Gatti from General Hospital, Dr. Liesl Obrecht.
Hello, I'm Butch Patrick, and you're listening to Dawn Reese's TAN Talk Radio, Hollywood Connections.
John Schneider, you're listening to Dawn Reese on Hollywood Connections.
Listening to Hollywood Connections, I'm Kirstie Alley.
Hey, this is Jason Thompson from The Young and the Restless. You're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese.
Hi, Squidward Tentacles here, reminding you about Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese. If you want to know about voiceovers, this is where you need to tune in. You can hear me, too. Ha, ha, ha. Have a great day. Is this thing still on?
I am. Hey, this is Brittany Sarpy from Young and the Restless, and you are listening to Dawn Reese Hollywood Connection.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Hollywood Connections with Dawn Reese and Belle. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Charlie Adler, and I'm shouting out, I guess that's a word, because I'll be on Hollywood Connections soon.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?
Hey, I'm Dawn Reese. Welcome to Hollywood Connections Beauty Queen Special, and we have Teresa Vasquez. She's out of Sacramento, California. And are you still there, Teresa?
Yes. Hi, Dawn. How you doing?
I'm fabulous. Are you ready for your half hour?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to shut the mics off. I'm going to talk to TikTok and tell everybody about you, and then we'll be back. And enjoy the show, everybody. And tune in tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. as well. We'll be back on the air. Good luck to you, Teresa.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. This is Teresa, and I'm with the World Tourism Pageant, Miss Universe Classic Division, and I have a great topic today. But before we go into the topic of choice, I wanted to introduce Lee Knox. He's a musician, composer, singer. He's amazing, and I'm going to be playing one of his songs, God He Is. It's a religious song. And Lee Knox, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
Oh, fine. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your social media?
Well, absolutely. My name is Lee Knox. As you said, I am a singer, songwriter, composer, and author. I have two books on Amazon, Surviving Your Meanwhile and Identifying Layers. And I have been blessed to have countless singles and albums that are out on any digital streaming platform, but you can find my music on my website, which is leeknox.net, leeknox.net. My Instagram is leeknoxmusic. Twitter is leeknox with two X's. And my YouTube is leeknoxmusic as well. So I really appreciate the opportunity and love what you're doing, Teresa.
Oh, thank you so much. And I love your music. I tell everybody about you. You are amazing. Anyway, but we're going to go into the song. It's God He Is. Are we ready?
Yes, we are.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Lord, I worship you in the beauty of holiness. God, your word is true. I worship you in the beauty of holiness.
Okay. That's a beautiful song. And I'm learning it. I'm going to be singing that song soon, so you'll be hearing me sing it. Thank you, Lee. I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Thank you.
Anyway, we're going to go on to our, you're welcome. We'll be going on to our topic of choice because the elections are so near in November. We wanted to touch on some of the things on, you know, elections and women. You know, they're part of that. And, you know, the history of women, the suffrage movement. We hear about the women's suffrage movement and how women suffered to get the vote. You know, it's they really worked hard at it. And now, you know, women earned the right to vote a century ago. So we're still, you know, at it. And it seems that it's, I read that women will have a huge impact on the outcomes of the 2020 election. So they are very consistent and reliable. And the statistics say here in 2016, 63% of women voted versus the 59% of men. So it seems like the turnout is bigger and bigger each time. So anyway, that's what's going on. Also, with all this, I mean, we have women voting, the election's coming up. There's also now we have the COVID, right? So we have to deal with that. And I was wondering about the safest way to vote, and they do have strategies in place and everything. And then I wanted to, you know, go into that. One of the safest ways is the ballot in the mail. So that's probably how I'm going to do it. What about you guys? Is Deborah there and Lakeisha? Ashley?
Yes, Teresa. Hello.
Hi, Deborah.
How are you doing, Teresa?
Oh, good. Introduce yourself a little. You're Deborah, and what are you doing? What are you? What is your background a little bit, so they'll know a little bit about you? And then, what exactly do you feel about all this, about women, you know, voting, and the upcoming election? How do you think it's going to affect, you know, the election with the COVID, things like that? If you can talk a little bit about that.
Well, all right. That's a long question. But yes, you want to know my background. Of course, I'm a graduate of the University of the Pacific out here in Stockton, California, and I have a degree in communication arts and English, and I love to write, and I love music, and we've been doing radio together for quite a while, Teresa, so you know I love broadcasting as well, and getting those messages out to people that I hope are helpful, and I my faith is very important to me, too, as a Christian, so that's all very much part of my life. So you know that we've done those shows together, many different ones.
Right.
And I'm
we had a lot of fun back then, huh?
Yes.
With those shows. Yeah, and then now we have this show. And our topic, you know, it seems like all the topics we've been covering so far also includes the COVID, because that's really, you know, affecting everybody. So with this election coming up, you know, how do you feel? Let's talk about women and the suffrage movement and how hard it was for women to get the vote.
I had a great aunt who was very much involved with that. I know some girl I listened to hear her talking about that during, you know, at the dinner table and so forth. And she became very active in voting and the idea of campaigning for candidates, because she let us know constantly, you don't know what we went through. And, of course, I didn't get that as a child. So when you look back at all this history, which I did research on too, Teresa, because, you know, I didn't grow up with much knowledge of that. Not a lot of it, because my home was we were all treated very equally in my household. My father was a wonderful man who treated me just like I was, you know, equal to him. No problems there. But I did find out about it. I went through school and through my great aunt, who constantly talked about this. So it was very challenging, Teresa. And, of course, as a little bit of history background of that, the women's rights movement began officially at a convention in Seneca Falls, New York, in 1848, and it took over 70 years before it led to the passage of the 19th Amendment in 1920, giving women the right to vote. But honestly, Teresa, it did not give women rights or complete rights, as written in what became known then as the Declaration of Sentiments. Nice title, huh? They called this amendment, it was kind of adopted, it was presented and it was adopted or modeled after the Declaration of Independence. But they decided to call it the Declaration of Sentiments. And at that convention, about 68 women and 32 men signed the resolutions that they decided that they were going to put into this. But they changed the wording, and it said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal." And this goes from the history site, history.com. I found it up there. And it's under the fight for women's suffrage. But they changed the wording a bit in that to include women, because you realize that the Declaration of Independence doesn't. It was just assumed in those days that was kind of generic. Mankind, you know, was just considered to be everyone. And when you say men to be equal or so forth, they meant women probably in a sense. But then again, we really weren't technically mentioned. So they changed it around for the Declaration of Sentiments. And it went on to outline the civil and political rights denied to women that included about everything. You know, it's sad.
Right.
Education, property rights, child custody. If there was a divorce, women might not have been able to keep their child. Plus,
that's terrible, huh? All those restrictions and everything.
Imagine.
Thank God today things have you know improved quite a bit today. And like I said, you know, they expect the turnout this year for women to be higher. In 2016, it was at 63% versus the 59% of the men. So hopefully this time around the women will also vote, you know, get to vote. Even with this COVID, you know, we need to be active and involved. Is Lakeisha there?
She is not.
Oh, okay. Is Ashley there?
She is not either.
Okay. So anyway, but Deborah, what do you think about women, and how do you think the turnout will be with this whole COVID thing? Are you planning to vote? What do you think?
Vote, of course, it's important after all that, and this is the centennial year of the right to vote. It would be wrong not to. But stepping back a moment, Teresa, of course, there will be a large, I'm sure, of women. I mean, we're always out there. As you mentioned, the percentage is sometimes a little bit higher than men. But going back just a step back just a moment, I want to mention, too, the fact that, you know, the right to vote was all we had until 1964. I found that shocking. When they had to pass something called the Civil Rights Act, because women, as I said, couldn't do anything else without their husband's permission.
Right.
And it was just after a very serious and in-depth study by a commission on the status of women, by President Kennedy, led by former First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. Remember her, of course, the dynamic First Lady. But that report showed that women earned 59 cents for every dollar that men earned and were kept out of more lucrative professional positions, plus many other things like opening a bank account, credit account, business with her husband's consent. She couldn't attend an Ivy League college, serve on a jury, anything like that. I mean, everything was absolutely forbidden to women. We don't realize that 1920 was only the right to vote. So 1964, they tried to change this. It was they worked on it. It did pass, but it wasn't taken seriously, Teresa. So to rectify the fact of women couldn't open a bank account, for instance, by themselves, so it had to go all the way up to an organization called, it became an acronym called NOW, the National Organization of Women. And it was founded to try to make people take this seriously and enforce full equality for women and fully equal partnership with men. They were often being exploited. But it was the Equal Opportunity and Credit Act that made it possible for women to open bank accounts and get credit without a man as a co-signer in 1974. Now, think how many years went by. What, 44 years, 1920 to 1974? Before women could actually even open a bank account by themselves. So it wasn't complete freedom. That Declaration of Sentiments was not completed. It was just voting. And so it became a battle, Teresa, on up to 1974. An Equal Rights Amendment was passed by the House and by the Senate, but it wasn't ratified by the states in 1972, I believe it was. So that really didn't go through. So what we had to protect us under the Constitution is still the Civil Rights Act and, of course, this Equal opportunity and Credit Act that makes it possible for us to financially have that kind of freedom. And so as far as voting, yes, that's of course women are going to go out, and we need to keep doing that because there's more to be done. There's no doubt that though we have those privileges and rights, it hasn't been that long. So I'm sure you may agree to that, but it's just been such a long fight. And we still need to keep looking at the officials and exercise that in order to know that we have our elected people that will continue to protect women and anybody else. It also includes people of nationalities and racial equality. But nobody's left out. So anyway.
Yeah. I wanted to, excuse me a minute. Is Ashley there?
She is.
Hey, Ashley. Hey, how you doing? Hey, listen, our topic today is about women and the women's suffrage, you know, all the years it took for them to vote, and we finally got the vote, and our turnout is expected to be pretty high this year, this election. And then, of course, all that, you know, I'm wanting to vote by mail. Mm-hmm. But with all that, we also have the COVID. So they, you know, are saying to play it safe and, you know, send in ballots by mail. So anyway, what do you think?
So we're talking about a very, very hot topic, hot button topic today is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, there's going to be a lot of things trying to obstruct this voting process this year. I'm not exactly excited about how everything's being shaped around, particularly on how, you know, yeah, we have to work really hard to get the vote, and everybody has to vote. It's very important. It's a very pivotal year for everybody to vote. But the how we're going about it is really terrifying. Like, while voting by mail, to me, is considered a safe thing, there has not been anything that's ever indicated that there's going to be some kind of fraud due to mail by voting. And the fraud that does take place is so minimal. Such a minuscule, it's so small, there's really no reason to even mention it. People commit fraud by voting in person all the time, you know, so it's no real difference there. My concern mainly is, you know, that it's okay to have certain kind of big gatherings and not other kind of big gatherings, and what indicates what's okay to be a big gather and what's not okay to be a big gather. Like, we can all go to Walmart, right? We could all go to Costco, but we all can't go and vote. So I don't really like all the practices that are happening around voting this year, but whatever it takes to get the vote in, I'm willing to do. That's my statement.
Yeah, it's going to be quite interesting. I just hope everything goes well, and I'm planning to vote. Are you planning to vote?
That's the plan.
I'm planning to vote, but I hope it goes smooth. There's not, like you said, there's nothing, you know, going on, the frauds and all that. So let's hope for the best. I'm praying, you know, we need things to get into, you know, in order, and we need to get rid of this COVID. I am so tired of it. I mean, everywhere you go, and wearing your mask and gel and the constant 6 feet, you know, distancing and all that, it gets very tiring. And, you know, when you're talking to people, it's just like I need a little mic or something, because, you know, they're constantly, you talk to them, ask them questions, it's like they're mumbling. So I'm like, oh, my God, you have to repeat yourself about 20 times, you know, just to get a couple of sentences out. So I'm praying that everything goes well. And then do we have Lakeisha on? Is Lakeisha in?
We do.
Yeah.
All right. She wants me to send her the video, so...
I want to clear something, too. That was the Equal Rights Amendment was 1970, everybody. And he's like 72. I just my notes again from the history side. So that goes back a ways for me. So, but that was never ratified by all the states. Everybody gets that. Why I didn't say something wrong there. As far as I know, that's the way it was. Anyway, it's been a hard battle. And I agree, you know, with all these different places. I was looking at what I got in the mail the other day about California, where to vote. Have all these different choices. We're all going to get a ballot October 5th out here. Mm-hmm. And you mail it, Teresa. Ashley mail and Ashley. You have to be returned postmarked by November 3rd, right? So that's going to be a challenge for a lot of people. And then you can drop it off at a community center in a locked drop box. And even go to the Register of Voters, it says here too, is this thing like on the mail pamphlet. Let me know that where we can do all this. It's so scattered around. It does kind of concern me. All these methods, you know, all the ways, all the different locations. And all before November 3rd, all has to be done. And we get a little sticker that says, I voted, which is nice.
Right.
And, you know, but really, it's the first. This is absolutely a first time when voters are going to be doing all this in all these different ways, remotely and ahead of time, and by mail and dropping things off, supposedly in secure drop boxes, you hope so. And there's a lot of fear and concern about that, right? I mean, it's the old-fashioned way, was the way I always went in and voted at the poll, the election site, and dropped it right there in front of people and signed my name. So this is very different now.
Yeah, so hopefully everything will go okay, and, you know, nothing crazy happens. And
well, there could be demand for recounts, and that's the problem with this, too. There will be a lot of that's the way it is in politics. You know, there's any.
Do you think there'll be a recount? Somebody asking about recounts and stuff.
That happened many years ago under President Bush and Al Gore. Remember that? That was a long time ago. Yeah, they might insist that no, it wasn't counted properly. That could go on for a long time with legal counselors saying no, this happened and that ballot box was broken into and all the votes weren't counted, and they may have to wait a long time to know the next president is if that happens, because there could be a lot of dissent about that among the candidates who might say, no, we don't agree with that. So let's hope nothing like that happens. But it's not going to go as smooth. It might go very smoothly, but there could be a lot of questions raised about it.
Okay. So anyway, I want to put some music on back, have Lee Knox again play. I'm going to play his song. And I want to wish everybody well. I hope to see you next time around, and we'll continue to talk about this hot topic. And so can we go ahead and play Lee Knox's song? There he is.
Bye. You.